Please turn with me in your copies of God's Word to Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3, our text this morning, comes immediately following the great act of the Lord in raising Jonah from the belly of hell and bringing him unto dry land. We see here that after all that Jonah has gone through, the Lord is not finished with his prophet. Here in these four verses, we get a look at the great mercies of God and how he continues to use weak and sinful instruments as the means of proclaiming his message of salvation. So give your attention to the reading of God's holy word from Jonah chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Thus far the reading of God's word, let us now ask his blessing upon it. O Heavenly Father, we come unto Thee once again, and we are so incredibly thankful for this Word that Thou hast given us. O Lord, this Word which stands forever, this Word that is true and pure and righteous altogether, this Word which is preserved perfectly, preserved from all corruption, preserved from all perversions, that Thou hast kept pure through all the ages. Lord, we thank Thee for this word. May it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. O Lord, we pray now that the Spirit of God would move among us, opening our hearts, readying us to receive this word proclaimed this day. May the minister preach with unction, with conviction, with power, proclaiming, Thus saith the Lord. And may we receive it with joy and gladness. O Lord, we ask that the word would go forth and not return void. We rest in that promise, O God. So we ask, Lord, that Thou would feed us with Thy word. Cause it to nourish us and strengthen us. Have it to cause us to grow more like Christ. O Lord, we ask these things because we are weak and we need the nourishment of Thy Word. So let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, here we see the great restoration of the prophet after he's been brought to a profound brokenness for his sin, and after he has experienced the salvation and deliverance which is only found in the Lord. Back in the opening of chapter 1, we saw Jonah, a man chosen by God, receive this word, to journey to Nineveh and deliver a divine message of warning. However, instead of heeding the call of the Lord, he turned away and he fled. His choice to escape the call of God led him on a terrible journey, one that brought him face to face with the overwhelming and fearsome wrath of God amidst a tempestuous sea. As he sought to flee on a ship that was bound for Tarshish. And then when the gravity of his disobedience came crashing down around him, he found himself cast overboard by his fellow sailors. And yet, even in this dire moment, the Lord brought a wondrous deliverance, preparing a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And for 3 days and three nights, Jonah resided in the belly of the fish, an experience that brought him to a place of deep reflection and repentance. And it's here in the belly of this fish, in his refuge, that Jonah's heart was transformed and his pride was humbled. It's here that his will was aligned with that of God. The Lord then commanded the fish to vomit up Jonah unto dry land, marking his emergence from the depths of his brokenness into the light of a renewed purpose. And now we find Jonah standing on the shore, and he occupies a very different position. And that is one of redemption and restoration. His journey had taken him full circle back to where he had first been called. From the depths of the grave to the belly of hell, Jonah had experienced now a resurrection. This man who had once tried to flee the presence of God now stands renewed, and he receives a second calling. But this time he doesn't flee as he did the first time. Instead, he humbly submits himself to the will of the Lord, and he goes about doing the work which he was called to do. And with unwavering obedience, he embraces the calling that he had once fled from, the mission to go to Nineveh and proclaim the message of coming judgment. And so we'll take up this theme of the second calling of the Lord to Jonah by considering it under three heads. First, Jonah's commission. Next, Jonah's obedience. And finally, Jonah's message. So first, let us consider Jonah's commission. Look at verses 1 and 2 again. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. What an amazing thing this is. The once disgraced prophet has been fully restored to his original office. And not only that, but the Lord gives him once again his original call. The very notion of a second time implies that God, it implies a God who not only forgives, but persistently seeks to restore. This call to Jonah to arise and go unto Nineveh was not some suggestion from man or even some notion that he had within his own heart. It was a divine command of the Lord. It was a recommission of Jonah to the sacred office, showing that the Lord had fully pardoned this man from his previous transgressions and that he had now set him out set out to use him in the way that he had originally intended. Consider the profound implications of this recommission of Jonah. In the depths of his disobedience, he had turned away from his divine calling. He had sought to escape from all the responsibilities that had been placed upon him. And yet, God's mercy proved greater than Jonah's rebellion. The second call serves as a living testament to God's enduring commitment to His chosen instruments, His chosen vessels, even when they falter. Matthew Henry writes, "But behold, the word of the Lord comes to him again to show that when God forgives, He forgets. And whom He forgives, He gives a new heart and a new spirit to. He receives those into His family again and restores them to their former estate that had been prodigal children and disobedient servants." So Jonah's story, it becomes the canvas upon which the masterpiece of God's divine grace is painted. A grace that not only forgives, but entrusts anew. And we notice that this second call that is given to him, it's the same one as the first. In chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we read, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Well, here in the second calling, we read, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, saying, Arise, and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." God didn't change the message that He gives to Jonah, despite everything that has happened. No, the call is for Jonah to go and preach the very same message that was originally given to him. The same message that had originally caused him to flee. And so we see that the Word of God is unchangeable. That He doesn't alter it to fit what we would like or what the hearers would prefer. But instead, it is a sure and steady Word which must be proclaimed and obeyed. And praise God for this. Praise God that we don't have to worry about whether or not the word of the Lord will change, and so we must be ever shifting in order to try to figure out what God says and stay in accordance with it. And that's because this word which came to Jonah is the same word that we have today, both in Scripture and in the person of Christ Jesus. God's word is so attached to who He is that it possesses the very same attribute of immutability that He does. Numbers 23:19 reads, "God is a man. God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good?" Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Unchangeable. It's unmovable. Friends, the second calling, this commissioning once again of Jonah is a great comfort to us. I'm sure many of you here have gone through times in your life where you feel as though you have fallen too far into your sins, too far into your rebellion against the Lord, that you feel as though there is no hope for the Lord ever using you again. I want to tell you today that just as the Lord forgave Jonah, and just as He restored His prophet back to his original position and gave him once again his original calling, the Lord can do the same for you. It doesn't matter how far you have fallen in your sins. You could be in the very belly of hell, and it's not too far for the Lord to reach in and grab you and bring you up onto dry land and to give you once again the calling which He has called you to. Where the calling of the Lord to Jonah was to go unto Nineveh and to proclaim the word of the Lord to them, the calling to you is very similar. It is to rise up and to go into the world and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost and dying world. And the word of the Lord, just as it did not change between the first and second callings of Jonah, it is sure and unchanging, and it is the only thing that you can rely on in fulfilling your commission that the Lord has given you. The word has not changed. The gospel is the same today as it was when you were first called from death unto life. So hear the calling of the Lord today and do not flee as Jonah originally did. Accept this calling. Accept this commission just as that great prophet. And in the change of the prophet, we see a renewed purpose in him. When the word of the Lord comes to him a second time, he doesn't do what he did last time and flee. But instead, he submits himself to the calling of God and he obeys. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. There was no hesitation in the prophet. There was no wavering in the response to the call of the Lord. Instead, Jonah arose and he went to Nineveh. Surely the apprehensions that he had previously had not entirely gone away. He was still a prophet of Jehovah who was going into a pagan nation and declaring unto them the word of the Lord. He was still going into the most powerful and great city of its time, one which was in no way friendly towards God. He was going into a city that was not friendly to the people of God and one which had the means available to completely destroy him if they wanted to. And yet, there is no hint of fear or anxiety to be found within him. This is because of everything that he had just gone through. He had experienced quite possibly the worst encounters that anyone could ever experience. And through it all, the Lord was with him and protected him. He now had his experience as a shield against whatever may come his way. Calvin says that this was in order that Jonah might gird up himself for the contest, that he might not afterwards fail in the middle of his course. This fear indeed frightened him at the beginning so that he shunned the call of God, but he is not now moved in any degree by the greatness of the city, but resolutely follows where the Lord leads. And so with this courage and strength, which is found only in the Lord, Jonah takes off on his mission to proclaim the word of the Lord to those who are in Nineveh. His whole mind and will were now in immediate submission to God. He immediately took off to fulfill the commission. At the time he was sent off, he hadn't been given exactly what it was that he was to say. But instead the Lord told him, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." He knew that he had to go and do what the Lord had commanded him to do, but he didn't yet have the whole picture of what that would look like. He must have felt like he was in a similar position as Abraham was when the Lord told him, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Genesis 12, 1 and 2. In both of these cases, the Lord suspended his communication from his servant until obedience had been rendered to his commandment. In Hebrews 11, 8, we read, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went." And so too here by faith, in a like manner, Jonah arose and went to Nineveh to preach there, not yet knowing what exactly he was to preach, but trusting that the Lord would put the message in his mouth. And we see that once he got to Nineveh, he did not delay in proclaiming that message. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried. Calvin writes, We now then see how prompt he was in his obedience. Who had before attempted to pass over the sea, he now takes hardly a moment to breathe, but he begins at the very entrance to testify that he had come in obedience to God. Friends, this is a beautiful display of true repentance. Matthew Henry says, "The nature of repentance, it is the change of our mind and way and a return to our work and duty from which we had turned aside. It is doing that good which we had left undone." This is precisely what Jonah displayed, and it is precisely what you are called to do as well. When you came to embrace Christ Jesus, when your heart was made new by the power of the Holy Spirit, you committed yourself to absolute unquestioned, to the absolute unquestioned supremacy of the Lord in your life. And that includes unwavering obedience to His commands. When you've experienced the love and mercy, the kindness and the graciousness, the true repentance of Jehovah in your soul, then the only response is reverential submission to Him. You give up your own vain wisdom. You refuse to be governed by the things of this world. You do not fear whatever may be before you, whether it be famine or the sword or pestilence or war or persecution or even death. You face whatever peril may come your way and you trust the Lord and His faithfulness, that because He has called you to this life of unwavering obedience, He will be there with you all along the way. Friends, if you're not walking in this sort of obedience, then the time of immediate, immediate unwavering obedience that Jonah walked in, then you must repent of your sins. You must repent of your sin of hesitancy and disobedience and conform yourself after the patterns that you are called to walk in. Rest in the arms of your God. Take comfort that He is with you every step that you take. Take refuge in the fact that He has called you to a life of obedience. And if He has done so, then He will bless your faithfulness in that obedience, no matter what may be going on around you. Hear the call of the Lord to you and be sure that you obey that call. And finally, let us take a moment to consider what it is that He went to Nineveh to proclaim. Jonah's message to the people of Nineveh was a simple one, yet it was so profound. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." What's interesting here is that Jonah himself had to heed the call to repentance in order to then proclaim it to the Ninevites. This is a call that Jonah knows perfectly well, that it is effectual to bring about change because it worked in his own life. Don't sit there and think that you cannot be used in this way because of the sins that you've committed in the past, because of your previous unfaithfulness. God uses even those who have rejected His calling, who have turned a deaf ear to His word and pursued a course of determined disobedience. Otherwise, none of us could serve Him. If you have heeded the call to repentance, then you too are qualified to proclaim that call. And that is the call to Nineveh, that unless they repent, they would be destroyed in 40 days. The Lord's judgment is coming. More than likely, there was more to the sermon that Jonah preached in Nineveh, but the summation was that the Lord will not leave the wicked unpunished. Surely there was an awareness brought to the sins of Nineveh. Surely the hope of mercy was extended to them, as it is so often when judgment is nigh. But even if those things were missing, the message was still clear. God's judgment is coming. The wickedness of cities ripens them for destruction, and their wealth and greatness cannot protect them from destruction when the measure of their iniquity is full and the measure of their vengeance has come. Great cities are easily overthrown when the great God comes to reckon on them. In the case of Nineveh, their iniquity had reached such staggering proportions that it became a beacon of condemnation. It was put on display for all to see. It was as though it were broadcast through an emergency messaging system. This is the wickedness of Nineveh. The city's malevolence was laid bare. Each sin and wicked deed was exposed like a blaring siren demanding attention. they were left utterly without excuse. The reckoning for their wickedness was imminent, and it would be swift and unrelenting, and it would leave nothing but ashes in its wake. As the psalmist declares, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Friends, this is what awaits those who are dead in their sins. Those who do not submit themselves to the Lord in reliance upon Him. They will be utterly destroyed. And if that's you today, then I'm sorry to say that I cannot cry as Jonah did and say, yet 40 days and you shall be overthrown. The Lord displayed His mercy in granting the people of Nineveh 40 days to repent, but there's no promise that He will do the same for you. There is no promise that you will be given 40 days. You're not promised 40 days. You're not promised 40 minutes. You're not even promised 40 seconds. So why delay? Repent now. Today is the day of salvation. And dear saints, the Lord will judge the nations. And so the nations must repent before the Lord. We'll get into this further in our next sermon in chapter 3. But it's important for us to see. It's important for us to see this now. Just as Jonah walked through the streets of Nineveh calling them unto repentance, so too must you call your own nation to repentance. The evils done by Nineveh were made known throughout the world. We know them through archaeological history. These were a heinous people, a violent people. But the evils of America are displayed right before your eyes. Here in America, we have a man who is masquerading as a woman who is commissioned as a 4-star admiral in the public health service. Nearly 1 million children are slaughtered in the womb every year. Paganism and atheism are promoted and protected here in this land. Brothers and sisters, the evil is right in front of you. Your message for this land must be the same as that of the prophet. Issue the simple call to repentance, just as Jonah did. Lest the Lord decide to destroy us as well. Brothers and sisters, revival is needed, and we must pray for that. But evangelism is a divine command, and we must be obedient to it. There can be no revival without evangelism. Jonah had belief that when he went to Nineveh, when he obeyed the Lord's commission on his life, that God would be merciful and grant repentance. But he didn't know for a fact that that's what would happen. It's not our job to know when repentance will be granted. Our job is simply to call forth to all who hear the gospel, to all who hear the good news of Jesus Christ. It's to call forth and call them unto repentance. So learn from this great prophet that the Lord can and will use you despite what you've done or what you've gone through. He's placed a calling on your life. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them." That is your calling. To live a life of faithful obedience to the Lord and walk in good works. And that's what you are called to call other peoples to do as well. You're called to proclaim unto others repentance, salvation, hope, and obedience. This is your calling. Will you obey? Let us pray. O Lord, we come unto Thee and we do thank Thee and we praise Thee for the calling that Thou hast given us, that Thou hast called us from death unto life, and Thou hast called us unto good works, to proclaim the gospel to this lost and dying world, and to even call our wicked nation unto repentance. O Lord, we ask that Thou wouldst use us as instruments in Thine hands to bring the gospel forth unto this place so that we would see many souls come into Christ, that we would see magistrates bend the knee to King Jesus in submission, Lord, that we would see the gospel go forth and the church advance. Oh Lord, we long to be used. Use us for Thy name's sake. Lord, convict us where we have failed to be obedient to Thine commands. O Lord, show us how we can be more faithful to the calling that Thou hast placed on our lives. Let us meditate upon this word so as to gain even more richness and truth from it. Feed us this day. Bless the remainder of our time together. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.